Bitcoin is civilization written in code. Bitcoin shifts the balance of property toward defense, and hence toward the individual, laying the foundation for peace and prosperity. From Julian Liniger, February 20th, 2026. There are two ways to talk about Bitcoin. One revolves around ticker symbols and price gains, institutional inflows, and ETF volumes. This language dominates the financial press. It is not wrong, but it misses the essence of what is actually taking place. The other way requires us to question assumptions that humanity has taken for granted for centuries. What is property? What is money? And who has the right to decide? The philosophy of absolute property. The history of property is a history of dependency. From feudal lords to modern nation-states, possession has always depended on the goodwill of a higher authority. The Roman concept of usus fructus, the right of usufruct, captures this precisely. People may enjoy the fruits of their property only so long as the sovereign permits it. One might object that modern constitutional states protect private property, yet that protection is always conditional. Bank accounts can be frozen, assets confiscated, savings eroded through inflation. This happens every day across the globe. Bitcoin changes this fundamentally. For the first time in human history, wealth exists that no court, no government, and no institution can seize, so long as one retains access to one's Bitcoin wallet, typically secured by a 12-word seed phrase. Property rights no longer rest on state enforcement, but on mathematical certainty. Cryptography cannot be overturned by decree. Switzerland, with its tradition of respect for private property, understands the value of this principle. Yet even here, law cannot fully guarantee ownership. Quantitative easing, a fancy word for stealing, exists. Bitcoin decouples property from the monopoly of force. It relocates the right of possession from the legal order into the domain of mathematics. Regulation can affect only the exchange of Swiss francs, euros, or US dollars into Bitcoin, never the Bitcoin protocol itself. Proof of work, instead of proof of war. Control over money has always been seductive. In fiat systems, it lies with central banks and governments. Decisions are political, and inevitably subject to short-term pressures. History offers countless examples of monetary debasement, from the dilution of Roman silver denarii and medieval coin clipping, to Spain's silver influx, the French assignats of the Revolution, the hyperinflation of the Weimar Republic, the collapse of Zimbabwe's currency, the abandonment of the gold standard, and modern quantitative easing. Those who control the money spigot profit. Those closest to it profit most. Bitcoin, by contrast, converts energy into security, incentivizing miners to deploy what we know is scarce, energy. The network's nodes relentlessly reject any transaction that doesn't have credit or tries to use the credit of someone else. Trust shifts from individuals to the system itself. Civilization can now rest on rules that are immutable, enforced by physics rather than politics. Bitcoin is civilization. Nothing threatens commerce more than theft. Theft forces people to divert resources into defense. It discourages saving because wealth can be confiscated, and it whispers a corrosive question. If it can be taken by force, why not take it oneself? In a world with abundant theft, one consumes more in order to protect less. Trade emerges only when defense is automated, and the balance shifts in favor of owners. That is precisely what Bitcoin accomplishes. Human civilization rests on a fragile web of trust, grounded in the protectability of property. If property is too easy to steal, anarchy prevails. If it is too easy to protect, coercive structures become unnecessary. The state flourishes in the middle ground. Property can be accumulated, but not entirely defended alone, so collective enforcement remains valuable, while theft is never trivial. History illustrates this equilibrium clearly. From the Renaissance trading cities of Italy to the early modern consolidation of the English crown, taxation, law, and institutional legitimacy emerged precisely where private defense was costly enough, but not prohibitively so, to justify centralized enforcement. Institutional economics and game theory show that state power is not absolute, but conditional. Its ability to tax, enforce contracts, and regulate exchange depends on property remaining neither perfectly secure nor completely exposed. Today, that equilibrium is shifting. Cryptography, blockchain networks, and microprocessors dramatically increase the defensibility of property without requiring centralized coercion. The traditional justification for the monopoly of force erodes. Civilization flourishes, but the state is under evolutionary pressure. Adapt, decentralize, or become obsolete in an age of voluntary, distributed, and self-sovereign enforcement. The psychology of hard money. For generations, Economists have debated the economic consequences of different monetary systems, yet the deepest effects are psychological. A system that guarantees perpetual dilution rewards short-term thinking. Because what is worth 100 francs today loses purchasing power tomorrow, saving is penalized, and debt rewarded. Behavioral economists speak of time preference, the weighting of present versus future value. An inflationary system creates high time preference. Why save patiently if the fruits of one's labor systematically lose value? This collective impatience creates entrepreneurial decisions planned around quarterly results rather than decades, and political horizons that rarely extend beyond the next election. There are subtler effects still. If theft for inflation or confiscation is always possible, part of human energy must flow into asset protection. Resources go to defense. Positive-sum market games give way to zero-sum competition for proximity to the money spigot. The fiat system forces us into investing our ingenuity to avoid loss rather than create value. Bitcoin, by contrast, is designed to be deflationary. There will never be more than 21 million bitcoins. This scarcity is not an institutional promise, but an immutable feature of the protocol. Those who save in Bitcoin experience a reversal of logic. Patience is rewarded, not punished. Time preference declines. And when theft becomes harder, energy once devoted to defense can flow into value creation. I observe this transformation daily among those who immerse themselves in Bitcoin. Many enter for price appreciation, but something shifts when they remain. They begin to think long term. They develop what can only be described as monetary sovereignty, the sense of holding their financial future in their own hands. Code protects free speech. Money is information. Every transaction is a statement about what we value, about what we have exchanged our finite lifetime for. Gatekeeping economic life, control over money flows, becomes control over free expression itself. In recent years, we have witnessed examples once thought unimaginable. Journalists' accounts have been suspended. Donation platforms have been shut down under political pressure. People have been excluded from the economic system, not for crimes, but for undesirable opinions. Those cut off from payments are erased from economic life. Bitcoin is resistant to this form of censorship. Account holders within the network are identifiable only through cryptographic keys, pseudonymously. Like cash, Bitcoin does not distinguish between good and bad transactions. As long as internet access exists, no one can be prevented from sending or receiving Bitcoin. In this sense, Bitcoin is a technical implementation of the fundamental right to free expression, extended into the economic sphere. A nonviolent declaration of independence, written in code. When the money printer goes kaput, modern monetary theory rests on a fragile assumption that states can guarantee demand for their currency. This guarantee relies on tax obligations, legal tender laws, and trust that others will still regard the currency as valuable tomorrow. But trust is not immutable. History is replete with currency collapses. These episodes follow a pattern. First, stability appears intact, then cracks form at the edges, and finally, decline accelerates exponentially. Bitcoin offers an alternative. Theoretical justifications for violations of private property, whether inspired by Keynesianism or Marxism, are not only ethically bankrupt, but futile. Bitcoin has no issuer, no head capable of being coerced, no central locus of power. Law can regulate access points, but never the protocol itself. Nothing stops this train. Bitcoin is unstoppable. Don't trust, verify. The 20th century was the century of trust in large institutions. That trust brought stability, but also dependencies and vulnerabilities. The financial crisis of 2008 showed how fragile it was. Satoshi's white paper appeared only weeks after the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Not a coincidence. Bitcoin enables a different form of organization. Not blind trust, but independent verification. Every user can download the entire blockchain and verify for themselves that the rules have been followed. No institution must give its word. The truth lies open, visible to all. Those who master the tools require no intermediaries. This is not a technology of paranoia, but of maturity. It demands more of its users, because anyone who manages their own keys bears responsibility. And it gives more in return. The certainty that no one stands between the individual and his property. We are living through a historic transition. The old world of politically controlled money still exists. The new world of non-state money is growing. Our task is to build bridges and ease the transition for people. The direction is clear. We are moving from force to cooperation, from coercion to voluntarism, from politics to mathematics. Bitcoin demonstrates that another organization of human affairs is possible. Not through conflict, but through peaceful competition between systems. Not by persuading the powerful, but by empowering individuals. Every piece of Bitcoin one owns is a vote for law, property, and human flourishing. Sound money, hard money, is civilization.